It's good to be with you, and I want to continue our theme of God of the Impossible. We had a movie, Breakthrough. It showed how a woman believed God for the impossible with the near drowning of her son. A powerful movie. There was a week of prayer. And so the theme this particular month is God doing the impossible. Now, I want to tell you up front, if you have any broken area in your life, if you have an area or areas where you need healing, you're in the right place. Because today I want to talk about, and the title of the message is Complete Healing. And I want to set the stage for it. And it's in Acts chapter 3. It's about a guy who was born crippled. And he became a beggar. That's what he did for his life. He was outside the temple, and he would hold out a cup or some kind of a container, and he would beg. You know what? It became his lifestyle. You know why? He was crippled in his feet. You see, we get crippled too. It may be physical, it may not be, it may be emotional. And you know what happens? We tend to just settle into it, and we think that's the way life will always be. And so today we're going to talk about this thing called complete healing, about a beggar man who was born crippled, but God did something in his life to change his future. And here's the point. God may want to do something in your life today where you're crippled at, where you've given up on, where you wonder if it's ever going to change, because he's the God of the impossible and he can do that. And we're going to learn from this story of how God wants to do that for us. I'd like for you to take out your Bibles in the chair in front of you. Turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read this together, and then we're going to dive in and lift out some basic principles or insights of how this crippled person, this beggar, became completely healed. So Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Let's read it together. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Here's a picture, a portrayal of John and Peter connecting with a man who was born blind. And as we find out in the story, in verse 14, the guy ended up receiving complete healing. And in your notes is our key verse. It's actually verse 16b. It says, "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that he has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this story, and we're going to talk about three insights, three truths of how this crippled beggar somehow experienced complete healing and changed his life from that day forward. So in your notes, let's get started. Three insights. How to move from being crippled to being completely healed. Number one, the beggar's crippled condition defined his future. His crippled condition defined his future. In the text we read, it says Peter and John were just going to the temple, 3 in the afternoon. A man crippled from birth was being carried. Let me stop there. When a person is crippled physically or even emotionally, it takes other people to carry us. Imagine every day of this guy's life, people had to carry him. And it says once they carried him to the temple gate, he began to beg. He had a container. And as people would go by, he'd ask for coins. He was a beggar. Now here, listen closely. You know what happened? It became a lifestyle. Day after day, it was the same thing. Just because his condition from birth, he was crippled. And so he just grew up, people carried him, and then he would beg. He would go home, they carried him home. He would do it day after day. It's a lifestyle. You and I can be crippled in different ways. It can be physical. But it could also be emotional. It could be mental. And we feel so crippled, and all of a sudden, we develop a certain pattern of behavior around the condition in our life that we're dealing with. So this guy would beg every day, or when he went there. And when he saw Peter and John, he asked them for money. You know, I thought about some of the conditions that we all experience that sometimes cripple us. It could be sickness. Sickness can affect us physically or emotionally, or even a breakup of a relationship. It could be a divorce. It could be a traumatic issue with another person, and it cripples us. It mars us. It could be the betrayal of a friend as a child, or something happened when we're growing up where we were violated, or it could be a host of things. And what happens is we get crippled in that particular area. That's what happened to this guy. Now, here's the point. When we're crippled in some area, if we're not careful, it will limit our tomorrow and what we expect out of it. This guy developed a lifestyle because of his condition. He just expected the next day he would be there to beg. The same thing can happen to us. If something has marred us in the past, we ended up just expecting a low level tomorrow because of that crippling condition. I want to tell you about a story. You all know of Abraham, who was the father of faith, but I want to talk about his father. The father's name was Terah, and in Genesis 11:31, I want to read one verse. Terah is the father of Abraham, and here's what the scriptures say. Terah took his son Abram, or Abraham, his grandson Lot, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Terah, the father of Abraham, said, "We're going to Canaan." And so he gathered his family up and he went on this journey. Now here's what happened. But when they came to Haran, a city, a place, they settled there. We know that Abraham, the story unfolded, you know, the son, he eventually got to Canaan, God's promised land. Amazing things happened. But here's the insight. The father, Terah, was planning to go to Canaan as well. You know what happened? He never made it. He got partway to Haran, and he settled there. You know what happens to you and me when we have a big dream and somewhere along the way something happens that kind of throws us off course? We end up settling. We don't push forward. We think it's over. There's no way we can achieve our dreams. And we settle. Terah, the father of Abram, was on his way to Canaan, but he never made it. You know why? He settled in Haran. The beggar, I think he settled. He got to a place in his life and he said, hey, life will never change for me. I'm crippled. Therefore, I can just expect to beg. You see, you and I have to be careful and look at our own life and say, am I crippled in some area because of a condition or an experience, and therefore it is defining my future, and it's limiting my future? So, point number one, we learn from this story that when the beggar with his crippled condition, it just pretty much defined his future, that it's always going to be like that. Okay. Number two, the second insight is this. God's word to the beggar through Peter and John would redefine his future. The word of God came alive through John and Peter to this guy, and it redefined his future. Let's look at the text. Peter looked straight at him, the beggar, as did John. Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. You know what the beggar wanted? He wanted money. You know what Peter and John said? It says, hey, Peter said to them, silver and gold I do not have. You know why they didn't give him silver and gold? Because that's the old system. It's the old way of doing life. God is about to do something new in his life, and to give him silver or gold would only feed the old system. You may have old systems in your life. It's the way you've thought about something, the way you've looked at something. It's your outlook of tomorrow that's been tainted by the past, and we have a sense of, wow, this is the way it's always going to be, the old system. Peter said, hey, I'm not going to feed that old system. I'm going to give you something different. He says this. He says, but what I have, I give you. Peter was about to give this guy his future. He's asking for, or begging for money or alms, and God wants to give him new legs. You may be saying, hey, I have this crippled condition, and it's just the way it's always going to be. And God is saying, wait a minute. I can give you something altogether new. That old system's got to go away. That old way of thinking, you got to let it go. You got to grow. You got to let me do something new in you, because it's at that very point that this guy had a whole new future. So Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You see, he spoke the word of God into his life, and he says, I want you to get up. God's got a greater horizon for your life. He has a better future for you than just begging by the roadside. He wants you to deliver you. He wants to deliver you from your sense of entrapment. He wants to break your bondage. He will surprise you. He will destroy your own system. He'll give you new hope. He will energize your life. God's word, spoken into this man's life, redefined his future. God wanted him to walk. Let me stop right there. You may have a crippled area in your life, and you've settled. It's the way it's always going to be. Can I tell you, the message this morning is to somebody here, maybe to all of us, God wants you to walk. He wants you to get up out of where you're at. He wants to make you different. He wants to give you a better tomorrow. He wants to energize your life. He wants to give you a bigger horizon. And we just kind of are entrapped in the old system. And so we find here, wow, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by his right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. You might need new feet and ankles today. It may not be physically. Maybe it's emotionally in some area in your life where you have just settled and there's a sense of confinement. And God is saying to you today, listen, I want you to get up and walk. I want you to be set free of that. I want you to overcome it. I want you to live life in a whole other plane. It says he jumped to his feet and began to walk. I read a story about D.L. Moody. He's 30 years old and he's a shoe salesman. And his Sunday school teacher led him to faith in Christ in the back room of the shoe store. And he was very uneducated and he just had a lot of passion, but he wanted to make his life count. Moody said he felt led to preach, and he was given the chance to speak in his home church, and he did that. And after he spoke, a deacon approached him and suggested in so many words, it'd probably be best for you to serve God by remaining silent. Someone else chimed in, you really have bad grammar. So here's a guy, 30 years old, has a call to do something for the kingdom, and people said, well, you're probably not very good at that, just kind of do something else. D.L. Moody left the country, wound up in Dublin, Ireland, where he heard a Protestant evangelist by the name of Henry Varley. And this evangelist said this, the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through a man who is fully consecrated to God. So Moody is listening to this guy, and here's what he's thinking. He's saying, wait a minute. He said he just needs a man, not a great man, not an educated man. He just needs a man or a woman who's fully dedicated and committed, and God will do something amazing through that person's life. So Moody said, wait a minute, I'm just a man. I'm okay. I just give God my life. Here's what happened. D.L. Moody preached to more than 100 million people in crusades all over the world throughout his lifetime. And he said, God, I'm just a regular man. I'm not educated, but here I am. I'm fully committed. I want you to know what happened to D.L. Moody. He heard God's voice, and he wouldn't let his crippled condition of being uneducated, of being discounted, to define his life. But rather, he let the Word of God define it. And when he got in sync with God and just kept going, I mean, he became an amazing evangelist and he preached to millions of people. And see, he can do the same thing for you and for me. We let his Word redefine our crippled condition and let him do what he wants to with us going forward. So number one, while the beggar, crippled condition defined his future. Number two, God's word redefined it and gave him a hope for the next day. Number three, the third insight about this story is this. The beggar's miracle impacted other people. His life change had a huge impact. It says he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping, praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Do you realize God is that people are watching your life? And they can just be filled with amazement when a person surrenders to Christ and God begins to do a new work in you and through you. You know why? They know the old you and they see the new you. And they see this amazing transformation. I came across a poem. It's called Heart Prince. Author is unknown, but I want to read it to you. It says this. Whatever our hands touch, we leave fingerprints on walls, furniture, doorknobs, dishes, books. As we touch, we leave our identity. Oh Lord, please, wherever I go today, help me to leave a heart print. Heart prints of compassion, of understanding and love. heart prince of kindness and genuine concern. May my heart touch a lonely neighbor, a runaway daughter, an anxious mother, or perhaps a dear friend. I shall go out today to leave heart prints. We all know what fingerprints are. With 7.5 to 8 billion people on planet Earth, everybody's got a unique fingerprint. It's an identity of who we are. But let me tell you about a different identity. It's your heart print. Every person you touch, family and friends, wherever you go, you are leaving a heart print. It's who you are when Christ lives in you and through, and it's the power of God at work. And so the blind or the beggar, he was crippled, he got healed, and all of a sudden people looked at his life and they were astonished. He left a heart print. You do the same thing. I mean, God wants to use your life to leave a heart print on every person you come into contact with because of Christ's power working in you and through you. So in this story, the crippled person started out. His condition defined his future. The Word of God redefined it. And then the beggar's miracle impacted many people and left a heart print on all those people around him. Let's look at the conclusion here. There's a verse. It's verse 16. It's in your sermon listening guide. Let's read it. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. In other words, end of the story, this guy experienced complete healing. You may be here this morning, and when you walk through the door, you have an area or areas where you know in your heart there's a sense of crippling. It's just not whole. It's not right. There's something I need help with. God's word to you today, his message is this. He is the one who can bring complete healing into your life because of his word to you and your faith in what Jesus has done for you. So the guy, the beggar, had a different future, all because he responded in faith to the words of Peter when he said, hey, I don't want you, I'm not going to give you silver or gold. I'm not going to reward the old system. That's just the way it was in the past. But going forward, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Somebody here needs to hear a message. God wants you to walk. He wants to do something in you today, this morning, so that you no longer go with the old system. He's got a new way of doing it. He wants you to walk. He wants you to receive something. He wants his power to penetrate the area of paralysis where we feel crippled emotionally or physically or mentally. And he says, I want you to walk. I want you to stand up. I want you to find healing. And the word used here is complete healing. God wants to do that work in each of our hearts. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to a song. It's titled The God of the Impossible. And it'll be on the screens. I just want you to just sit and listen to it. Meditate on what the words are saying. After we're done, I'm going to come and have a closing prayer. I'm going to share a few more words, and then we'll conclude this service. But let the Word of God minister to your heart. And here's what I want you to think about. What is impossible in your life that you've given up on? That today God may be saying to you, wait a minute, I can do something for you you cannot do for yourself, and I can bring complete healing into your life.
God of